Technology. It's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun. It can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Last year was one for the record books. It was the warmest year ever recorded in many cities across the Midwest. The question now is whether 2013 will be any different. With the crop in the ground, winter wheat farmers need things to change in a hurry. But as Harvest Public Media's Grant Gerlach reports, climatologists aren't so sure that will happen soon.
As far as the drought goes, 2013 is starting right where 2012 left off. Michael Hayes is director of the National Drought Mitigation Center based at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
Unfortunately, it's not over, and we're definitely entering 2013 in a different status than what we entered 2012.
2012 started with about 28% of the mainland U.S. in drought. At that time, the worst of it was in Texas and the southern plains. 2013 starts with 62% of the lower U.S. in drought, and the heart of it is centered on the Great Plains, from the Dakotas down through the Texas Panhandle, prime winter wheat country. Mark Sobota is a climatologist at the Drought Center.
This year, as Mike mentioned, when we're already behind the eight ball, when you look at the moisture situation, we'll be living rain to rain much earlier if we don't get a huge spring.
Farmers who raise winter wheat are already living rain to rain, or snow to snow. This time of year, there should be a field of low green grass as the young wheat goes through its winter dormancy. But the warm and dry fall caused a bit of a false start for the crop. Dan Hughes grows wheat in Chase and Perkins counties near the Colorado border in southwestern Nebraska. He planted as deep into the dry soil as he could, hoping the wheat could find moisture.
So we put our drills in and planted it about an inch and a half and prayed for rain. And, you know, it's not looking the best, but at least you can see that it's going down the rows.
Greg Kruger says in some areas, the wheat seed never even sprouted in the parched soil. Kruger is a cropping system specialist at a University of Nebraska research center near North Platte.
Yeah, on our dryland farm, it was virtually zero germination. Certainly standing at the field edge, you're not going to see anything.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says nearly half of Nebraska's winter wheat crop is in poor or very poor condition. 70% is in poor or very poor shape in South Dakota. That number is 31% in Kansas, the nation's top wheat state.
For those fortunate enough to get the crop up, there's potential if we get some rain, snowfall, that it could recover. But I think for a lot of that wheat crop that USDA keeps reporting as poor or very poor, the long-term outlook on those fields are going to be pretty bleak.
Many communities are 10 inches or more behind their normal precipitation for the year. Nebraska State climatologist Al Dutcher says catching up on the drought would require setting more records, records for snow.
Our record snowfall is just barely over 100 inches in a winter. And these deficits are so extensive that if we wanted to completely eliminate them with snowfall, we'd be looking in the area of 125 to 150 inches of snowfall with normal snow equivalency rates. I don't think anybody wants to see that type of a winter.
In fact, there are no predictions for 10 feet of snow over the next several weeks. By the spring, there is a chance for improvement, but there are also some troubling signs, and not just for wheat farmers. First, snowpack in the Rockies is normal, at best. Normal might sound good, but Michael Hayes at the Drought Mitigation Center says that's not enough to refill diminished rivers and reservoirs. Without more snow, water disputes along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers could continue.
There are going to be a lot of pressures put on politicians and the managers of those river systems to try to fairly allocate how that water gets distributed.
And climatologist Mark Sobota says another reason for concern is dry weather settling back into parts of Texas and the Gulf Coast, areas that feed moisture into the Midwest.
The moisture down there is our source region for our precipitation and our temperatures in the late spring and summer period. So if they stay dry and hot, that sort of migrated up north last year. That could play a repeat this year. That's not a good sign.
For now, the wheat markets are withholding judgment. Strong global supplies are keeping prices in check. Dan Hughes, the Nebraska wheat farmer, says if things go from bad to worse, he can lean on his crop insurance. But he's still feeling optimistic about his fortunes in the new year.
You got to have faith if you're going to be a farmer. You've got to believe that it's going to rain sooner or later. You know, like I tell my banker, a good rain's coming, so sooner or later it'll be here.
I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
A new ballooning record was set this week in Antarctica. The 2-ton Super Tiger balloon has now been afloat for over 45 days, breaking the previous record on the frozen continent. The balloon carries equipment that collects data about cosmic rays from deep in the universe. Ryan Murphy is a graduate student at Washington University in St. Louis and is part of the science team in Antarctica. He spoke with Jacob McClelland via Skype.
Ryan, what exactly is Super Tiger and what's it doing?
Super Tiger is an experiment that is collecting cosmic rays, which are particles that are hitting the Earth's atmosphere. And we're trying to count how many of each type of element there is that's heavier than iron.
Why is Antarctica the preferred place, the ideal place to do this type of experiment?
Well, basically, that's because it's a great place for ballooning. And we like ballooning because it's much, much cheaper than a satellite. We can turn things around in 4 or 5 years as opposed to 10 to 15 for a satellite. And it's cheaper. And we can still get above 99.9% of the Earth's atmosphere. In Antarctica, we can go around in about 2 weeks and get back to roughly where we started. So we're actually on our third trip around. And the other advantage to Antarctica is that the sun is up all the time and it just changes elevation in the summer. And that means that our balloon expands and contracts, but it doesn't shrink too much when the sun sets. And that can really limit your duration.
So for folks that have never been to Antarctica before, like most of the rest of us, could you describe the continent for us?
It's almost always very bright because you've got the sun above all the time and then you've got ice on the ground. And the ice just reflects the sun. And that's pretty much all you'll see. No plants, no land animals. The only animals we've seen are seals and penguins and skuas, which are these nasty gulls.
Ryan Murphy is a graduate student at Washington University in St. Louis. He is currently at McMurdo Station in Antarctica. Ryan Murphy, thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. To listen to this episode and others, just head to kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.